Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, Japan slipped into recession for the first time in 4.5 years in the first quarter and is on course for its deepest post-war slump as the health crisis weighs heavily on businesses and consumers. Numbers out this week showed that Japan's exports plummeted 26% in June from a year earlier, bigger than a 24% decline seen by economists in a Reuters poll. It followed a 28% fall in May, the worst downturn since September 2009. And to find out what the outlook is for Japan and his thoughts on the latest numbers, we're joined on the line by Alvin Liu, Senior Economist and Senior Vice President of Global Economics and Market Research at United Overseas Bank. Alvin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Alvin, taking a closer look at these numbers out of Japan, you know, US-bound Japanese shipments nearly halved again due to plunging demand for cars and auto parts. Exports to China remained weak. While this is a reflection of the absence of a strong growth engine in the global economy, were you expecting such a significant decline?
When we look at Japan's trade numbers out on Monday, exports contracted quite severely again, 26.2%. This is a bit of a small improvement from the previous month, but still quite high double-digit contraction. And we look at the stretch of contraction, that's about 19 straight months of decline. And that's the longest stretch of monthly contraction since 1987. Rightly pointed out that the shipments going to US is down by nearly 50%, and cars is one big component of it. But of course, when we look at exports to China, while it is weak, the contraction in terms of exports to China is just a small 0.2%. I think that also likely reflects that the second biggest economy's early exit from COVID-19 lockdowns, right, compared to the rest of the world, and that has been helpful. Of course, the biggest drag is still coming from transport equipment, we mentioned just now. But while we believe that the worst for the Japan's trade collapse is in the second quarter of this year, and we still expect a subsequent recovery in the second half, this recovery is likely to be gradual, and the path is actually laden with significant uncertainties in light of the evolving COVID-19 situation. Of course, if we get rising infection rates coming in from the US and elsewhere, and potential resurgence in other regions as well, that could hamper efforts to reopen economies and continue temporarily disrupt global supply chains again, and that will impact the Japan's huge manufacturing base, and that will be, of course, of consequence to, again, on how the trade outlook will be. Currently, we are still focusing on a weaker trade outlook for Japan, and I think the numbers are looking not very good. Even if we are looking at a recovery in the second half, we probably see about another 16.6% contraction this year in terms of overall exports.
That said, Alvin, in the Bank of Japan meeting minutes out this week, some members said that they were of the view that the economy had recently bottomed out. How closely should we follow the content of these minutes?
I typically will not follow the minutes too closely, purely because due to the lag timing of its release, it's coming out actually only after the next policy meeting has just already passed, which is the July monetary policy meeting. And in that meeting itself, right, though Bank of Japan has maintained its cautious recovery view unchanged, it did highlight that the pace is expected to be only moderate and that the impact of the COVID-19 remains worldwide. And it also highlighted that the outlook for the latest report is still extremely uncertain. It's based on a few very highly uncertain assumptions, which is a second wave of COVID-19 will not occur on a large scale, on the fact that firms and households' medium and long-term growth expectations will not decline substantially. And thirdly, they also base it on financial stability with a smooth functioning of financial intermediation. I think if we look at the latest data that was, some of the latest data that was out from Japan, excluding the trade numbers that we just talked about, household spending in Japan had fallen on the fastest pace on record in May, and the numbers are down by 16.2% year-on-year in May. And that is because, I guess, in May itself, right, they were still in the period of lockdown in Japan, and that has pushed Japan into a deeper recession. So if in terms of the numbers itself, right, I would still be quite hesitant to say that they're showing signs of bottoming out if we combine both the trade numbers and the domestic numbers itself.
Do you think that consumer spend could also be linked with, you know, there have been a number of reports online that Japan has a shrinking middle class. Do you think that could also play a factor here as well?
I think when you look at Japan's demographics, it's certainly one of the most challenging. If with that itself, right, of course, you can't ignore the fact when you have a growing society, the spending patterns will change, and definitely the middle class, the composition and the spending patterns would likely to be very different. And that would be, of course, a challenge to Japan.
And just going back to Bank of Japan, do you think we're likely to see it expand or enhance its monetary easing stance in the second half of 2020?
Definitely. Although in the last meeting in July, they have not changed their view, their policy stance, we still expect BOJ to do more and enhance its monetary policy in the second half of this year. However, one of the things that we long held as a key view is we initially thought they would be deepening their negative policy rate. Mm-hmm. Now that looks increasingly remote because I think the recent MPMs, string of MPMs, has shown that there are immense resistance to push rates deeper into the negative territory. That said, we think that instead BOJ will do more in terms of JGB purchases, especially when we look at the amount of increases in the fiscal spending that the Japanese government is doing. And at the same time, right, we also see them expanding the lending facilities to corporates, SMEs, as well as increasing the ETFs and corporate buying programs, probably in the later half of this year itself.
We're speaking with Alvin Liu, Senior Economist, Senior Vice President of Global Economics and Markets Research at United Overseas Bank. Given the multiple issues squeezing the economy in Japan and globally as well, do you think now is the time for economic reforms in Japan?
I think now is definitely a very challenging time for economic reforms anywhere, and especially for Japan. I think there's a few things that Prime Minister Abe has been during his current term, has been trying to do. Of course, one of them is to increase the women workforce participation in Japan, which is quite a key thing given the very challenging demographics that they have. And that is one of the key ways to maintain the workforce participation, one of the key ways to help prop up the participation rate. But this COVID-19, right, has seen drastic implications on the workforce itself. And when we look at the latest numbers in terms of the decline in workforce numbers, especially for non-regular workers, right, it's a huge number, huge drop, and a big drop of it, right, whereby it's nearly a decline of nearly 1 million workers, I believe. Big chunk of it, more than 70%, is accounted for by women. So that has become a big challenge for them in terms of when you took at the economic reforms itself, and now with COVID-19, it has hit the particularly hard for the women workforce because of this pandemic. And of course, the other issue, the elephant in the room for them, is the huge government debt. I think they are the highest in terms of percentage GDP, right, among the G7 countries. And this huge, due to the pandemic itself, right, there's a huge need for a fiscal response, which Japan has answered to the call. And in terms of the spending, right, it's more than 40% of GDP. But now the question will come back to them is that how are they going to finance this? The promise of trying to come up with to be fiscally prudent and to be balanced in the next few years, right, I think that has really will not be able to be achieved in the next few years. And those are the challenges that is arising coming out from this COVID-19, right, in terms for economic reforms for Japan.
That said, Alvin, you know, we've also seen a move by Japan's government to pay its companies to invest in factories in Japan as part of its efforts to reduce reliance on manufacturing in China. What are your thoughts on that?
I think this is a few concerns. One of it definitely is about geopolitical developments, especially between US and China. And the other one, of course, is relates to the current situation of the COVID-19 pandemic, which first originated from China, leading to the first really significant lockdown for a major country. And that had implications on the supply chains. And I think learning from that lesson itself, Japan also would want to, as with many countries, make sure that they would have diversified their production in their chains itself, production chains itself, such that they would not be at least caught facing in this situation. whereby now they are moving on to just in case instead of production just in time.
So what are you going to be looking out for next?
Well, of course, the second quarter GDP numbers could be quite widely watched, but that's still quite a few weeks away. Globally speaking, we would have to monitor, first of all, the global COVID-19 pandemic situation. Mm-hmm. And that plays a large part on how the reopenings of economies. Domestically, Japan is also facing a resurgence in COVID-19 numbers. So they will also be very mindful on that area itself. And whether the reopenings can be successfully maintained or you see some pullbacks or some restrictions put back, those are the key issues. Geopolitical developments globally will also play a part in this outlook for Japan itself. I think the crucial relations for them definitely between US and China is a key. And within the region itself on Northern Asia, I believe that the geopolitics continue to play a role for them to watch.
Well, Alvin, thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and we've been speaking to Alvin Liu, Senior Economist, Senior Vice President, Global Economics and Market Research at United Overseas Bank.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.